Guess who and guess what? Footy Prime is launching a gin and we're having a party to celebrate. Thursday, June 6th, join the whole FP crew for Footy Prime's one-night stand at Nickel 9 Distillery in Toronto. Come celebrate Footy Prime's one-ball gin with Nickel 9 Distillery mixologists on hand, Charmin's proper pies, meet and greet and photo ops with your favorite primers, and a live Ask Us Almost Anything podcast. Footy Prime's one-night stand, June 6th at 7 p.m. till when we kick you out. Tickets at eventbrite.ca. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
And we're recording.
So stupid.
Good and stupid.
Yeah, I guess.
We need to address the elephant in the room, and that is why Wonga is dressed up like Richard Simmons. And is now actually exercising as if he was a young Richard Simmons in 1984.
He's already sweating. It's chair aerobics.
If you're doing chair aerobics, right, you're either old, right, or you've given up, right?
Old,
right? Or you're
you guys realize I'm
mobility.
Close to 60. What the fuck is going on? This
you
is close to 60
aerobics.
Years old. I just did 40 push-ups this morning. I'm
are
doing
you,
this.
Are you part of the challenge?
No, I haven't done that, but I don't know if you guys saw, but I said I'm going to take over a Canada Soccer and I get to make all the sole decisions. Mm-hmm. And part of the interview process, I'm too old. Part of the interview process is there's two tests. One is you have to do Century Club, 100 shots of beer in 100 minutes, or 100 push-ups over a four-month period. So I didn't want to challenge people too much, but we're in this place where it doesn't matter if I'm a shit show going in, because it's already a shit show at Canada Soccer. So if they hire me, once again, the expectations are low.
Very.
Keep them low. Any little victory, hey, if I pull off a good meeting, everyone goes, that guy's not as big a dick as I thought he was going to be. So you win all the time. You just keep winning. And that's like the Richard Simmons. I found this headband crumpled up in the corner of my room, and I put it on. So there's all the thought I put into it.
Am I wrong here, guys? It kind of works, doesn't it?
It does kind of work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we go back to your two criteria? Did you say 100 push-ups over 4 months? I mean, the bar is pretty low, as you said. Amy. It's a moving dumpster fire. But I mean, come on, set some goals for yourself.
No.
Like you set the goal every 2 days.
Yeah. One, two
it's
every.
It's just like eccentric phase today. The next day, concentric phase. Just the down phase.
I don't know what that means.
The down phase.
Oh, okay. Every day is a down phase with Wonger at the helm.
There we
go. I just want people to understand that.
Hey, Dubs, what's up with They're not called girly push-ups, but the push-ups from your knees.
We call those junior push-ups in my house.
Junior push-ups, yeah.
We don't call them girly ones. We call them junior.
Okay, good. Okay, that's better. Just yeah. I know people who've been working out for months and months and months and months, and they're still doing those push-ups.
I'm yeah, thinking, but you know why, though? They're not helpful.
They're not at all?
At all, right?
No. So talking about the down phase, so in a push-up, you want to work your muscles and challenge them in the full push-up position. So you think about a plank, that's what you want to assume at the top. Mm-hmm. Like you're moving everything that's facing the ground away from the ground, tightening your butt, squeezing your core, and then lower down slowly and controlled, hit the ground, push back, and then start again. And then that's how you build strength instead of kind of dumbing it down in a silly way. And they're often called, like you said, girl push-ups, which is stupid. They're modified, but they're not helpful.
Right. So you're better off not doing it at all?
No, you do it, but you do like the down phase, you get stronger. Same thing with like a pull-up. Pull-ups are really tough for a lot of people. Mm. So use a box, jump up to the bar, do the old flexed arm hang, work at the top, which is usually the most challenging position, whether you're supinated or pronated with your hands, and then just do a controlled down phase. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get stronger and stronger over time. And then you can add sort of the up phase.
And pull-ups use your back more than anything, right? Focus on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People use their arms too much in pull-ups.
Yes. Usually guys, because I think...
Oh, I hate pull-ups. I'm terrible at them. Awful things.
Yeah, they're That's really interesting. Hard.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. The down phase.
Jimmy's been thinking about something since this conversation.
I know. What's happening, Jimmy? Yes.
Waiting to unload
Because I'm
here.
Laughing at Charms because he's such a dick and he's acting like he's so interested in this.
I know. I was waiting for it. I know. I was waiting for it as well.
I am interested in it.
He's like, oh, right. Oh, yeah. Oh,
no, I am interested in it.
The arms, not the back.
Honestly.
Shut up.
I genuinely am interested in this kind of stuff, and Dubs is an expert, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just because my hat says expert, that's all.
So when I hear the term down phase, I just think this is kind of the down phase of our lives. I hope.
That soap opera wouldn't have been as popular, right? Down phase of our lives.
Just sad and depressing.
Yeah.
Striving for something that never comes.
Like sands through the hourglass. These are the down phase of our lives.
Yeah.
That's right. Just images of people struggling to do push-ups.
Speaking of which, Craig's on vacation still. So it's just Dubs, Jimmy, Wunger, myself, Shams. JC is going to join us, or is he traveling around?
He's traveling, yeah. He came down to Toronto to support his mom, who was doing an event where she either sang or read poetry. So I think she was doing beat talented. Poetry. Yeah, Patty Cole. Yep.
I think cool. We know where he gets it from now.
Yes. Snaps for Patty.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
What is that thing?
That's instead of applauding at beat poetry, you snap.
How fucking annoying is that?
That's pretty fucking cool, stupid.
Charms.
Even going to beat poetry must be annoying, but then to hear that.
Yeah, but you get to wear a beret. Oh. I always liked a beret.
Oh, so you're a regular in beret.
Yeah.
Did you really rock a beret at some point?
I did. I rocked a red one for fun, but I never knew how to put it on. I never knew how to put it on. I wore it like three times because someone left it at my house, and you put it on. You go out.
I'm going to need to see a photo.
No photographic evidence of my life until I was
That's
like...
That's the best part of our generation, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. So happy about that.
I wore a beret for years in the Boy Scouts.
What's that?
I'm sorry, right? For years in the Boy Scouts.
You were in the Boy Scouts?
Yeah, I was in the Boy Scouts.
And they took a lot of pictures? Are you sure you shouldn't be reporting this to the police? Pictures.
Nothing happened to me.
Were you by yourself in the cabin?
I was with my troop.
Yeah.
And they're some of the best days of my lives.
There you go.
It's my life. There you go again.
How did
a bunch of 14-year-old boys, let me tell you.
Sharp says
even when we are camping. I know.
He was with his troop. He doesn't tell you that his scoutmaster was Steve Troop.
Yeah. It's my dance troop, actually.
Oh, we did, my sisters and I, we did 4-H and Girl Guides. So I'm the pot calling kettle black.
So
yeah.
And 4-H was the farming thing, right? It's agriculture.
I mean, kind of. It was the 4-H.
Aging? Like foraging?
4-H. It's 4-H. It was an American thing. Yeah.
It was hunting and gathering for children.
Yes.
Foraging.
Who's hunting and gathering the children? That's disgusting. What the hell?
Steve Troop.
Let's move on.
You know what's bad is there's some guy out there named Steve Troop who's getting bashed now.
I know.
Who is a camp leader?
I'll tell you, going back to beat poetry, I guarantee you, if you go to see beat poetry, you also do modified push-ups. 100%.
If like there'd be a Venn diagram.
Yeah, crossovers.
Beat poetry.
Rhonda Brownlee. Rhonda Brownlee. Push-ups. Let's see.
Steve Troop.
All right. Well, back to the
fundamental CSA. So far.
Sharp. Let's start with the CSA. I know. All joking aside, I mean, I know Twitter loves to take things just too far, right? And it's a great excuse to hammer the CSA, but we have no idea the situation behind Alison Walker leaving the day that she was to start the job as general secretary. So she walks away for personal reasons, and I think you have to respect that. We don't know more than that. It could simply be that. You hope everything's okay, obviously, but it does throw the CSA once again into a bit of a world of chaos as they have to renew their search once again. And the clock's ticking, right? They just announced Mauro Biello as the coach for the Trinidad game. That's massive. Not a full-time coach just yet. There's so much to deal with right now. And this search, I guess it doesn't begin again, Jimmy, because they had, I'm assuming, finalists for the position. They just go back into that well, don't they? And pick out the next best person, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, whatever's left. Because obviously Alison was number one, so she's gone. I think Divas was probably up there, and he was probably one of the final contenders, and he's gone. So really who you're going to get it could be the fifth or sixth best, which would be a great stadium chant, wouldn't it?
Or the second best.
You were number seven.
You were
number seven.
That's the problem though, right? And it's going to be an easy target at first. But come on, I'm sure there are some very good candidates here, Dubs, for that position. It's a big position. So I wouldn't think the process should take that long at this point then, right? Because these people have been to numerous interviews at this point. They made their call, and it doesn't mean you're not qualified for the job. Simple as that, right? So I can't see this dragging on too long, I would hope.
Yeah, but at the same time, and I agree with you about, you know, personal reasons, you give her some space, you don't delve into that too much. But it is another red flag if you're one of those potential candidates. You think, is there more to this than they're saying? And you would also think that if you're a prime candidate for this type of job, that maybe you had a number of things lined up. You're not holding your breath and hoping that the person who's been named in the position is going to forgo it for whatever reason. So, I think, I don't know if Jimmy, you alluded to it, but I just think that all of a sudden the pot or the pool of people from which you're going to choose that you would like to, if you had your druthers, to put somebody in a position who's well suited to the job, who's going to take this organization to a place, where it needs to be. And start setting up the newly appointed coach and really have a strategic vision for the future in all the different realms. I think you're not only running out of time, but you're probably running out of well-suited candidates. Disagree?
Jimmy not listening?
No, I agree.
Oh, okay.
I agree. She's right. She's right in what she's saying.
Well, the biggest thing I'm just thinking about job interviews, though.
Yeah, because like, you think if you get to that final stage or your final interviews, obviously you're very good at what you do, and you are not going to be without a job for very long. So a lot of those candidates have probably already picked up other jobs elsewhere.
Or they're in a job already, and they're still wanting a
job. Or they're in a job. Yeah. So.
It could go both ways, right? But I mean, it's just the poor CSA, a lot of this is they've created themselves. We know that. But they don't get many breaks, do they?
No.
They finally find the person. They think, yeah. I mean, her resume was superb. It was outstanding, right? no one said that's a bad high. It's like, wow, that's a good get. And then that, for that to fall through, when it fell through, it's like, for fuck's sakes, what more can we do here, right?
Yeah.
So
you have to wonder too, like her background, you know, played soccer at McGill. So, you know, there is some knowledge of the game there. I think that she probably would have surrounded herself with people who are her experts in football to help her with the hire. But she comes from the more commercial marketing side. And so you wonder, is that because she was the best candidate and then that just happened to be her area of expertise? Or is that something that that CSA or Canada Soccer was targeting? They saw that as the solution for the long term. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, whoever comes to the fore, or we probably won't hear about other candidates. We'll just hear about, you know, the next person who's named in the role, just to see if that aligns or if they go a completely different direction because the person who's best suited has a different area of expertise. But I think to go up back to my original point, I think that you're really probably narrowing your pool now of potential people who could fill that role.
I mean, if there was any criticism of the initial hire is, well, yeah, she played soccer at McGill, but wasn't really a football person per se. Didn't have those contacts necessarily. Mm-hmm. And the ideal candidate would have a deep, big Rolodex full of football contacts, as well as being, you know, very much well-versed and connected in the commercial side of things. Maybe that person's still out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting.
A physical Rolodex like Jimmy. So then literally, we're talking about like a different demographic where you have to be, are we talking over 60? Or do they ride public transport for free? Like Wonger is almost nearing that threshold, you know?
Rexall. I can get the silver package with Rexall now. I can get a discount.
The silver package.
What the hell is well, that? You should see what I've got going on down there.
Wasn't that C3PO?
Silver package?
Yeah.
C3PO was gold, wasn't he?
Oh, maybe he was.
Yeah, wasn't that another C3PO? How annoying is C3PO?
Oh, he's fucking...
I love Star Wars, and he's the worst.
Beat poetry. He's at a beat poetry freaking gathering, isn't he? In some smoky basement somewhere.
He's trying to snap.
Modified. He couldn't even do modified. His arms don't bend at a 90.
Honestly, like R2 is the best. R2 is one of the best characters in Star Wars. And C-3PO is just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst.
Is C-3PO, was he in all the Star Wars? Because I haven't watched Star Wars since the Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, Darth Vader, I think, is created C-3PO. So he's around. Yeah.
He was like his father as well?
Well, yeah, I guess he was.
No, baby.
Got around, like, eh?
Little Anakin built C-3PO.
Is that Anakin? Little Anakin. Was that it?
Darth.
Yeah, Darth Vader.
Anakin was Darth, was he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. My God.
I haven't watched anything. Doing? Honestly, my last Star Wars movie was Return of the Jedi, I told you. Oh. Yeah. And I didn't some big Wookiee birth hand solo in that one. Forget now. It's disgusting.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
He did, right?
Chewie gave birth to Han Solo.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. Been a long time. And then Chewie married Carrie Fisher.
Okay, that's right.
Carrie Fisher. She's
but
dead, right?
I going back, going yes. Yeah, Princess Leia. And her mom, Debbie Reynolds. Really sad. And I'm smiling. I don't know why I'm smiling, but it was really sad. isn't this a microcosm for Canada soccer, though? They find to Carrie Fisher. That they do this search going back to, I would argue they have to almost go back to the beginning. Because what, back to the red flags, if you might have said yes to this and you're like candidate 2 or 3. So what Amy was saying about the red flags, I'd be concerned about, okay, it's personal reasons. But before I accept this position, I want to do a little bit of a deep dive of what I'm getting into first. Like, show me your issues, show me your books. Like, I would like to know at least some background and resources on Excel spreadsheets, basically.
Well, I'm sure she did. I don't think that's the reason.
No, I'm talking about the new people who would go, oh, right, this person. Right. You know what I mean? Like, this turns this job into something that I joke about and say, oh, I do it. But even I'd sit there and go, if someone offered me a sports management position, executive C, like it's a C-level position, I'd have my second thoughts about this position, because everybody who's been through it over the last, whether they were good or bad, and we can argue about their effectiveness, they've all failed. Does that, you know, like everyone's failing in this position. And that is more of the story for me, where I'm like, everybody who's been in place or chosen to be in place has had kind of a bad run of it. And
well, isn't that, even if you've, they've hit, you know, the rock bottom, only one way to go now, isn't it? Like a bit like Sir Jim Ratcliffe taking over football operations at Manchester United. Like, well, shit, I can't do worse than that.
Yeah, up phase. You've done the down phase. Now it's time for the up phase.
Only way is up now.
Yeah. No, but go, just to finish up on Canada soccer, I think the scrutiny and the, like, everyone will be looking at Canada soccer and what direction they go in. Going back to Earl Cochrane when he was hired, and you know, no, I don't want to throw Earl under the bus, but, you know, it was like, following a worldwide search, we're going to hire the guy three doors down in a hallway who already works for us. And so it just seems like there's been a lack of ambition in terms of their vision, in terms of their hires. So I think whoever is brought on to fill this role, yes, they have to be the right candidate, no matter the realm of area or realm of expertise. But I think now, like, it's the microscope and all the scrutiny will be on Canada Soccer to say, have they done their due diligence? Yes, maybe with a reduced pool of candidates, but, like, they need to be ambitious in terms of who they're seeking out for this role for once, because I think it's just been settling over the course of decades. So now it's time to, like, really go out and grab somebody who's going to be the right person for the job, who might ruffle feathers, but has a clear direction in terms of what they want to do in that role.
If it is Wonger, can you please wear the headband at the first press conference you hold?
Every press conference.
Every press conference.
Yes. while I do a shot of beer a minute.
Yeah.
For 100 minutes.
One push-up.
And one push-up per month.
Some of those negotiations, though, with the players, you would think that maybe they were drunk when they were talking to them, right? Would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it?
You could blame it on the booze.
Certainly what the players were asking for, they must have been fucking drunk. Right? So, hey, we'll find out about this new person. Hey, JC's joined us. He's not actually in the room just yet. Oh, there he is. Happy birthday. Is your mum's birthday, JC? We're just talking about your mum.
Really?
Yeah.
He's concerned.
She had her show. But she had a show last night.
Is that blood on the pillows? What is that?
Yeah, we're in my mom gave us her room. So she's very violent.
Your voice, you are so hung right now, aren't you?
Slightly. I have to voice Timber Titans today. So
congratulations, by the way.
Yeah,
if everyone
amazing.
Doesn't know.
Yeah. Almost like Ron Burgundy.
Tell us about Timber Titans for a second.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Timber Titans is a program which will be shown on Discovery Channel in Canada and Weather Channel in America, and it starts February 5th. It's a show about timber titans in the forest taking down old trees that are worth money, but also conservation and helicopters. Ooh, baby.
Is that you sound like you wear a sex panther.
I am wearing a sex panther.
What is a sex?
Look at this hair. This is
sex. What is panther. Sex panther? Watch
it's
Anchorman.
Cologne.
Come on,
yeah.
Man.
Sorry, it's been a long time too. I think I watched Return of the Jedi since I've watched Anchorman. That's a great, great pipe, though, JC. So good bash last night.
My mom is so bloody talented, like so good. So she was performing at the Transat Club in Toronto, and she did poetry mixed with her music, and like. Just blew everybody else away. It was just sad to watch anyone else because she was just so damn good.
But it wasn't beat poetry, right? Please tell me it wasn't beat poetry.
It was beat Nick poetry, maybe. No, it's funny. I actually said that to my mom's friend last night. That this is Vita, who listens to the show, by the way. I said, "You guys are a bunch of beatniks." She's like, "We're not beatniks. We're hippies."
Oh,
yeah, it's a big thing. She's like, "No, beatniks are the worst. They do this. And they don't smile. And they don't laugh." I'm like, fair
right.
enough.
Hippies laugh a lot, right?
Because they're hippies do because they're high stoned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, happy birthday to my mom.
Happy birthday, Patty. Cole.
Absolutely. You've done a fine job raising your son.
I don't know about that.
That'd be you, JC. That'd be you. Okay, moving on from CSA issues. Lots of Canadian news this week. Eh? Jonathan Osorio, our boy, Ozo, named the seventh captain in TFC history. Third Canadian. Can you name the previous two Canadians to captain TFC? Wonger? Dubs?
I would say this guy. This guy.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Jimmy Brennan. Yep, that'd be one.
James Gopher Brennan. Who would be the other Canadian? Oh, that's
it's
good
very
one.
Obvious. It's very obvious.
Is it?
Amy Walsh.
Help my brain. Come on.
I don't know.
Okay, Shake and Bake. How about that?
Oh, God. He looks so good. He tastes so good. He should be chocolate. Played for Dallas, too. God, why am I blanking on his name? His son plays in the CPL.
Nope. Incorrect. Oh. Yeah, but his son does play in the CPL. You're right.
Yeah.
He's only like one of the biggest names in the history of Canadian soccer.
So. Dero?
Yeah, Dero.
Yeah.
Of course he was. He
played for Houston. Sorry, I said played for Dallas, right? Houston.
Yeah.
Dero.
Ozo, taking the armband in what will be a test of anyone's leadership, I suspect, in this opening season. The window opens next week, I think, the 31st transfer window. Progress is slow because they're going to move players out before they move players in because of cap restraints, which isn't always that easy. But to the captaincy, Jimmy, you're a captain. You're the first captain in TFC history. Any advice you give to Ozo as he takes the armband full-time in this footballing market of ours in Toronto?
I'm very happy that Ozo is the guy that's leading the club now. Local guy, loves it. You know, plays with his heart in his sleeve, and you need someone that's going to lead by example. And he's got an awful lot of experience, played a hell of a lot of games for the club, won championship with the club. And for him now to wear the armband, he's just got to be himself and be a leader in the dressing room and get that dressing room on the right track, because they've had so many issues over the last couple of years. And, you know, he's got to get control of it now. But I hope you don't want him to change. You don't want him to change his game. You don't want him to change as an individual. And sometimes, you know, players get the armband, they go the opposite way. He's got to be himself and control the dressing room. But I think he will. I don't think Ozo will let it get to his head because he's older now. He's more experienced. So I think he's the right candidate, and I'm glad to see him wearing it.
What was it like for you, Jimmy, when you were named captain? You'd been captain at other clubs, right? But was it different coming home and being captain? Did you put more pressure on yourself?
No, I didn't put more pressure on myself. I don't think it changed me. I think the players knew the type of guy that I was. You know, when things weren't going well, I'd be the first one to say something. But then when things were going good, then I'd be the first one to give praise to the players. And for me, I was just, you know, you try to lead by example, because we had a lot of guys as well that have never been in a professional environment. So every training session, you had to make sure that you put a shift in. Every match, you had to put a shift in to show exactly how it worked. You know, after the match, making sure that you looked after yourself, you know, the cold tubs and getting your massages and hanging around after training to do a little bit extra. So that was part of my role, was just to help the younger guys as well. Like, look, this is what it means to be a professional. This is how you have to look after yourself. This is how you have to train. This is how you have to play. And it was more that of a mentorship at times for the younger players.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we understand there's a lot of work involved being captain, but with that comes some pretty cool parts of the job as well, right? I mean, did you enjoy overall being captain and being like, you were the face basically of that initial few years?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I mean, because, you know, if things weren't going well, I'd be the first one to stick up for the players, or I'd be the first one to go out into the media. And I never shied away from any situation. And also, it's got to be the exact same. He's got to be the leader that gets out there and puts his face in the public and deals with tough questions. But at the same time, protecting his teammates. And then also, you've got to have that very good relationship. And I know John and also got a good bond. They've got a good relationship. And that's important as well, because you know, when you're in that dressing room and, you know, the players are a little bit tired, a little bit fatigued, you got to be the guy that goes into the manager's office and sits down with them and just says, look, you know, I know you wanted to do this for training today, but the guys are fucked today. You know, so you got to make it a little bit easier. Or sometimes there's players in the dressing room as well that are injured, that have knocks, that don't want to tell anybody, right? Because they don't want to lose their position. And you've got to be the guy that says, hey, listen, you know, Wonger's injured. You know, he's not going to tell you, but you've got to look after him today in training, sort of thing. You know, so you've got to have that relationship and that close bond with the manager, and you're the voice of the dressing room.
Nowadays, Dubso, so many times you see a captain being named because he's the big name. He's the big guy making the big money. It's more of a branding exercise. So on this regard, do you think it's an indictment on Lorenzo Insigne, or is it an acceptance that perhaps he won't be here for long?
I feel like this is my answer in a lot of questions you pose me on this pod, but I think it's both. But I think more than anything, it's an endorsement of Ozo and his leadership and the type of player he is, the fact that he's the only remaining player from that treble-winning team, and that they really need, like John's talking about, preaching patience in terms of the roster development and the team and the collective. But what to Jimmy's point about how having the armband, you maybe see it as an elevation of your leadership qualities, that leader by example, but it can't change you. So he's going to have to be patient in instituting that, you know, that clean slate and the changing in the mentality and building that winning mindset that obviously John has been talking about in preseason, but from a captain as well. This is a team that finished dead last. They've only made the playoffs twice since they won in 2017. Like, it's pretty bleak. So it's going to have to be baby steps. So if you want to turn it all around immediately, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to feel let down probably by yourself, but also by your teammates. So it's really important that you have measurable short-term goals in terms of how the group feels and how the group's performing and practicing, and in terms of the effort. And obviously the performance, but sometimes the results won't.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Won't also come immediately. So he also has to be patient with himself and his teammates, and also John to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I suppose the advantage
to me. Insigne would have been the wrong guy. You know, if I'm John, I'd be looking at Insigne being, I don't need to give you more pressure. You just go play your football. You don't worry about being the leader wearing the armband, because you were a bag of shit last year and you got to perform this year. So it was the right decision. You can't give it to him just because he's making all that money and who he is.
No, I agree. Just in modern sports, you do see that, right? You see that the true leader isn't necessarily the guy with the armband or the C in his shirt. Mm-hmm. I guess in Ozo's corner as well, he's seen literally the rock bottom and the highest of the high. Right, he's seen the worst Toronto FC in history. He's been involved in that, and he's seen a championship winning team as well. You can really draw on that experience. That's important, I would think, because there's nothing he hasn't seen now in MLS. I would think that would, you know, surprise him. Put it that way.
Yeah.
Yes. <you're right>. Jimmy and Amy, you were both captains though at one point. Did it ever get exhausting? And if it did, what was exhausting? Was there a point, a story where you went, oh, fuck, do I have to deal with this shit again? Or was it always, hey, I know what's in, I know what my accountability responsibility is, and I'm going to take it head on, and it's okay.
Are you talking about the podcast or about the?
Yeah, that too. That's me and you, Sharp. Yeah. Send your invoices. Send your fucking invoices.
One about wanting money all the fucking time, and then he doesn't send invoices.
I think it's always more fun when you're winning, right? It's always an easier job as a manager, as a player, as a captain when you have a winning side. But even if you're up against it in terms of the results, but the atmosphere, the culture, that mentality of the team you're doing things the right way and you have the right people, then that makes your job easier too. There's nothing worse as a captain when every day that you wake up, no matter what's going on in a pitch in terms of the results or the standings or where you sit in the table, is if you have to fucking deal with these energy vampires and these shitty negative people. And a lot of people can relate to that, whether you're the captain of TFC or it's fucking, you know, Judy at work, who's like, just can't get on board, you know, with the team and with the project, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Judy at work,
it's exhausting.
Judy at work, do you yell at in front of her family and make her cry?
Yeah, you follow her home and you berate her and be like, Judy, that's not fucking good enough.
But then you see where she's coming from in her home life and you understand why Judy's a little bit bitter and
that's,
you know,
right.
She's coming from a place.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I feel bad for Judy. Maybe you should show empathy towards Judy, for Christ's sake, Stubbs.
Well, this is another thing that you need as captain, is you need that empathy.
And
you need to be, tough love. Sometimes we have to be able to read the person in front of you, whether they're Lorenzo Insigne or like a young guy on the team, and how they need to be, you know, John will be doing that. But there's also those relationships that have to be built between Oso now wearing the armband. That will change the relationships a little bit, even with guys that he has existing ones with.
So
even guys that are his buddies or his friends.
Should he follow Lorenzo home and sign him? What's going on?
Just hide in his trunk.
Yeah.
He's going to find out Insigne is married to Judy from payroll.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You know what? Judy was my mom's name, and I have no idea why I just used that as such a negative.
Freudian. I think it's Freudian.
Could be, yeah.
But I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Ozo's got his list, his little clipboard, and his list of things to do. You know, tickets, you know, welcome in the new guys, spy on Lorenzo and Bernadeschi. Right? I would put that on my list. Absolutely.
Important. But there's an emotional component that can be draining when you're the captain. I don't know if you wanted to speak to that, Jimmy, but sometimes the increased demands on you in just terms of your time and how you're dealing with players, your relationship with the coach, it's beyond that. And sometimes that can wear on you.
Yeah. No, you're right. There is an awful lot. There's a lot of responsibility when you are the captain, because really the whole dressing room kind of relies on you for a lot of things. You know, you've got that relationship where things aren't going well, and sometimes you end up having private conversations with a couple of the players. And, you know, if anything's needed for the dressing room or the players need extra stuff, then you're the guy that has to go and be the voice and try to get whatever they need. So there is an awful lot of stuff that goes on, and it can be a lot and time consuming as well.
But aren't you also pulled in two directions there? Because on one hand, yeah, you're representing the players, right? And you know, they have to have your ear and you have their ear. At the same time, the coach relies on you too. I'm sure there are moles and spies and captains that aren't trusted. I'm sure that happens. But the captain, how do you communicate to the coach something you know that's going on in the room that is very much something within the room that shouldn't be divulged elsewhere? You're walking a fine line there, aren't you?
Well, you are, but I think that's the respect that the players have for you, right? And the trust that they have. Me personally, I could never have been that rat. Could never have been. I just don't have that in my nature. So if I was going to go talk to the coach, there was a few older guys, I'd be like, hey, listen, this is what I'm going to go say to the manager. And I would tell them what was going on, and I'd go speak to the manager. But if there was things that were going on in the dressing room that weren't right, I wouldn't go to the manager. I'd go deal with it myself in the dressing room and get everybody together and say, no, this shit's got to stop. I would deal with it that way. I wouldn't go to the manager and say, oh, we've got issues in the dressing room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why it's so important, Sharms, to your question about, you know, the person who's making the most money or is the most high profile, they can't necessarily get the armband, you know, because it's just for, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just for show.
Yeah.
In a way. Right. And so I think,
performative.
I don't know what,
were you looking for that word? Performative.
Yeah, sure. Yes. Sure. Let's do that.
Okay.
I think, John, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but he's talked about Berna and Insigne in that leadership group. I think he has to do that. We talked about that a couple pods ago. But if those guys are going to undermine the message, they're going to undermine Oso in any regard or John, that is going to upset the apple cart and that might fuck things up, but you have the right guy wearing the armband who can set things right.
Of course, they have no history of undermining the captain, have they, at TFC? These guys never happened before.
No, not at all. but I think, like, I don't think John has a conversation with Insigne and says, listen, I'm going to go a different direction with the armband here. I don't think he owes him that. He's brought him into the fold, said, this is a certain amount of responsibility that I'm giving you as a guy that people, you know, publicly are going to be looking to see how what your body language like is, like how many goals, you know, your output, your contributions, all of that on the pitch. But he's also going to be scrutinized off the pitch. But more than anything, in the locker room, he's going to be looked to as an example. And he might fail. But John has not doubled down on that. He's invited him in a little bit, but then the true responsibility has been given to the right guy, in my opinion, in Oso.
I think you're right. I mean, he had no choice but to include those guys in that group. But I just, speaking to John and you know, hearing his tone in the press conference and the little things he says, he read between the lines, I really think they're doing all they can to get rid of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Really, but like you say, you have no choice because maybe you can't get rid of them. And you have to, at that point, empower them somewhat. Put them in a group, make them feel good about themselves, and hopefully you get something from them. But I just think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes right now, trying to get rid of these guys. One, if not both of them. That's a tough place to be. That club, this preseason has got to be fascinating, I think, inside that room right now, because no one knows what this score will look like by the time the season kicks off at the end of February. No one will have a clue. Could be very, let's hope it looks different, because right now it looks pretty similar to last year's team, and that wasn't very good. What a mess. Okay, staying on the captain theme, Dubs, I'm not sure whether you were kind of, whether it was on the podcast or after you recorded, but you kind of were insinuating this might happen. Jesse Fleming,
oh, yeah.
Who presumably will be the next captain of Canada, she hasn't been officially named, but she will be, has left Chelsea, joining the former Canadian captain, Christian Sinclair, in Portland. That's some coup for the Thorns.
Yeah, it's
huge. Is that Jeffrey?
That's the biggest thing that came out of this. Her nickname is Jeffrey. Dubs. I love that. But why?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is long past my kind of tenure and time with the team, so I'm sure there's a great story behind it, but she's affectionately known as Jeffrey.
That's a great nickname.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, and she's also reunited with her bestie in Janine Becky. So, you know, you have to, the motivation there, I think that I don't think there's going to be a mass exodus out of Chelsea. Like, they're world beaters. They're setting standards in terms of what they're providing to players, Champions League consistently, winning leagues, winning trophies. They're always going to pull players in. But I think Emma Hayes leaving, you know, and players who have contracts up. I mean, Jesse had a contract through 2025, if I'm not mistaken. I think it might lead a couple of players to say, you know, Emma was very much the reason why I chose to be here, and now she's not going to be here. And so maybe I'm going to look elsewhere. But I think the motivation for Jesse, yes, she won't be playing Champions League, but she wasn't getting consistent starting minutes. I think she only started 4 games so far this season. She was getting minutes as a substitute, and you could tell that she was valued by Emma. But I mean, there's lots of competition in that squad. So you have to have that balance of, I'm going to have a really high level competitive training environment, but I also need to be getting those meaningful minutes, especially in a year here that's ramping up towards Paris 2024. So she gets to play with Sink, who just re-upped one last year, presumably with Thorns. Janine's coming off that ACL injury. And she will be, you know, that team will be essentially be built around her. So, you know, she will be somebody who is looked to as a key cog in that machine in Portland.
I wonder if the rumor that Wayne Rooney is replacing Emma Hayes at Chelsea will convince some players to leave. What's so funny about that, Dubs?
You didn't hear that rumor? No.
No, me neither. It didn't. It was not a rumor. I just made it up. On the spot. It'd be
was
great,
it,
though,
was
it?
It that?
Cool.
I okay, guys, I'm confused, though, on she has a contract with Chelsea. I didn't hear about a buyout or anything like that. Like, can you just walk away from this shit? I don't understand.
Usually 6 months prior to your contract being up, you're free to have discussions with with other clubs. So maybe 2025, maybe that was an option year.
Mm. And so there's no discussion with Chelsea saying, are you going to offer me something different? Or is it, you know, or is it I'm leaving and I'm done and it's that easy with that contract? I'm confused.
Maybe thought a contract. Jimmy, you can talk about that. But like, she was like beloved at Chelsea by her teammates, by the club, by the fans.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there were discussions about her future and moving on once maybe that offer was tabled by Portland. I'm guessing that they probably spurred things on, or like they approached Jesse versus the other way around. But who knows?
Right.
Maybe she floated it.
Yeah. She could have walked into the office as well and said, look, I want to move. Mm. I want to go back home, closer to my family. So let's work on a deal. That happens sometimes as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it was Laura Bryan, who was part of Rise Higher on Twitter, who was talking about these rumors, the fact that she was nowhere to be found on that like that roster for Sunday's game. So not as a starter, not on the substitute bench. She gave away all of her jerseys, I think, the game before. So I think Karina, for a long time, had coveted Jesse as part of that roster. And so Laura, knowing all this, was kind of like just kidding on. But she was right. And then Laura did say in her tweet, talking about the rumors, which I think it was Tom Gary of The Telegraph who leaked it or who first talked about it. She said, like, really, Jesse, whether she's at Chelsea or whether she's at Portland, she's a sort of equal distance away from London, Ontario, or her home. Right. She's not really any closer to home being out in Portland.
Is that a leverage play from a player? Like, you want to leave your club, so you just give away all your gear?
Yeah, maybe.
And then say, sorry, I can't play this weekend. Why not? I gave my stuff away.
Yeah. I don't have a jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's gone.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, good luck to Jesse Fleming. It's good to see him in NWSL. Great coup for the Thorns and in Sinkies last year, of course, which they're going to celebrate every game, apparently, with a huge, huge event and festival around every game of the season to say farewell. Again, I'm making that up.
But a bitter, bitter man.
Very good.
You know that?
I'm not bitter at all.
You are.
She's a legend there as well, right?
Yes, she is. And did you guys see the, like, all the stuff that came out on social media? Like, when she was re-upping, first it was a picture of a goat, and then everyone knew that it was Sink that was going to be re-signing. But then, like, the images in the video that came out, it was like all of these goats going rogue and like nibbling on her kit, and like Sinky's face, just kind of the straight-faced emoticon being like, what's going on here? Like, they probably just got her to show up saying, okay, we're going to take some pictures and this is going to be what we're going to pump out on social media, not telling or not divulging exactly what she was getting into, because I don't think she would have been on board.
Yeah, like, they didn't send out a tweet of like boots hanging over a where was it, hanging over a goalpost, right?
Yeah,
the day before or 2 days before. Like, what's going on here? Yeah, not comfortable in that role, don't think. But anyway, one more year to enjoy Sinky before she joins Project 8 and a team, and probably plays a year there. Do you think, Dubs? Probably.
I think she was asked this.
Yeah.
Following the game at BC Place, and she said no, she didn't envision herself playing, but that she'd be involved in some capacity.
She plays half decent this year. Mm-hmm. She could play in an upstart Canadian league for a year, for sure she could. And just think about, from a marketing standpoint and exposure, it'd be so good for the league. She's playing.
Yeah,
for
of course
sure.
It would.
Yeah,
what do they call it in hockey? Net hanging? That's all she has to do is net hang, right?
Goal poach.
Is that what it's called? Goal poaching?
Yeah, basically, right. That would be the equivalent, wouldn't it? Net hanging, goal poaching?
Yeah. I hated net hangers in
cherry pickers?
Cherry pickers,
yeah.
That's for hockey, though, isn't it, I think?
Cherry picking? Yeah.
Pick a cherry.
Enough about Craig. Did you see this? So Al Nassr, or they're in their winter break in Saudi Arabia. Al Nassr go to China for two or three games, of course, to promote their brand. Ronaldo's done his cough. So they're actually postponing the matches, because he can't play.
Jeez.
Doesn't that say everything about this contrived nonsense? For Christ's sakes. You want credibility. Sorry, big player can't play, so we're not playing the games. We'll play them some other time. Like, piss off.
But it's not an Al Nassr tour. It's a Ronaldo tour for Al Nassr to do their sports washing and continue their marketing, which will happen. Everyone will grab a Ronaldo Al Nassr shirt or kit or jersey. I mean, it's obvious, and people, this is what they want. So, when they show up, they're going to get, they're going to get Ronaldo signing autographs, taking pictures. He really doesn't even have to play, to be honest. He could just go on this tour. They're kind of silly that way. He could just be there doing ab workout. People love it. Yeah.
Well, they're playing Miami, right? They're supposed to be playing Miami in Riyadh pretty soon as well. The Messi v Ronaldo, they're being sold. They're like, right. Again, go away. It's not the same. It's just not the same anymore.
Ronaldo thinks it's the same.
Of course he does. Yeah. He thinks the Saudi league is better than Ligue 1 in France.
That's because he's in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, maybe I shouldn't care. Why do I care?
No, but you're right. It's not usually as overt as that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You usually try to conceal it a little bit and be like, no, it's not just all about the stars, a vehicle for them. But no, actually it is. And we're saying as much because we're saying all his teammates,
you're all shit. No one gives a fuck about you. No one's here to see you, which is true. They're not.
Yeah, but his teammates will know that.
Yeah.
They know their role.
I suppose so. Yeah.
Yep.
You're shoveling up Ronaldo's shit, basically. You're in the stables with a big shovel. That's your job. Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think the pendulum has started to swing? Like, they're talking about the January transfer window being a bit quieter, and that's maybe because, the Saudi leagues were really aggressive during the summer. And then maybe there's just less interest, and you're seeing a guy like Karim Benzema also just kind of fuck off, not show up on time for his club, and he might be on his way out. And then Henderson, rumored to be signing with Ajax.
No, he has signed. He's there.
He has signed. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it's coming back the way, that.
Oh, yeah. They're realizing it's really hot there. That's one of the complaints, how hot it was. Fuck me. These idiots. It's as if no one told them, right? Might be different to the Premier League. Might be different to La Liga. And now they're all surprised by the culture shift, and then their wives aren't necessarily very happy living. They actually live in Bahrain, a lot of these guys, right? And they just cross over like an hour and a half to get to the practice.
But they would also be living in expat kind of compounds, right?
And I'm sure it's lovely.
Yeah, except it's lovely, but you're also in a silo. It's not like you live in a building. The grocery store is in if it's for Westerners, the grocery store is in the building. You stay on this compound. It's a mini city. And I would think that it would get much more, I think, just boring for the spouses, for the support systems, all of that. It would end up being, it'd be great to go on a trip, but to make that your life would be very difficult.
Maybe that's why Henderson left, because he found it very difficult to affect change in the LGBTQ+ society in Saudi Arabia, living in Bahrain in a compound. Maybe that's why. Hey, Jordan? Fuck me. Yeah.
And then due to British tax rules, comes back with no money.
Yeah, he's actually lost money.
Congratulations. You changed the world in 6 months and you made no cash.
He's living in a flat right now in Eindhoven. A one-bedroom flat because he's got no money left. Oh, Christ. What a joke. Anyway, I saw this quickly. Also, Inter Miami in their preseason. They're playing games already in their preseason because they got Messi. But they haven't scored in two games. They played in the Cotton Bowl, which is massive, right?
Yeah, in Texas.
And like no one was there to watch. I don't think there's a sign of things to come. I think they're going to sell tickets this year, but it's
It's a little bit of music.
And didn't they play a national team? Like, weren't they playing somebody else?
Yeah, they
else?
Played
Uruguay
or El Salvador or someone.
Nicaragua or something like that.
One of them.
Yeah.
One of them.
Sorry.
Someone in South America.
No. It was either Central Ecuador. Or South America. Yeah. I forget. We'll have to look
it up. I think it
was. If someone wants to look it up for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do. I've got some. There was a couple that, I mean, obviously, I'm going to pull out one from our Twitter. And it was good because it was a new friend named Corey. And give me 2 seconds here while you guys, hey, Phil, for me.
Does anyone know a Corey? I don't know any Corys. I know one Corey's a cameraman.
No, there's a Corey Brady who we go back and forth. So I've said
he was on our pen thread yesterday with Nesker.
Yes. And so I thought of Corey Brady. He goes, I for one think we should use the Century Club much more in lieu of job interviews. Can't drink 100 shots of beer in 100 minutes. Sorry, you're not qualified to teach high school. So I thought that was a really good one. And then we have a couple of reviews, which always makes me smile.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this like, oh, is that, oh?
Yeah. So this is a great one from IZ401 from Apple Pods. Happy New Year, 5 stars. Can't think of a better way to start the new year other than listening to a new Footy Prime podcast and a few F-bombs dropped by Amy. It's almost like Foritz is the clean one here.
He's become a clean one, isn't he?
Yeah, I like that one. And then there was another one that it's always strange when people write these things, but it's a good one. 100% would recommend, 5 stars. This is from M.W. Ronald. The old English cheddar appetizer was smooth, but for some reason tasted like pastry. I didn't mind it. The half Irish, half Scottish too was perhaps a bit bitter, but it's sweetened by maple syrup and it pairs well with a Guinness. The Forest of Greens was for some reason delayed and arrived 30 seconds after everything else, but was worth the wait. Wasn't sure how I would like the vegan edition, but they really brought the flavor to what otherwise could have been a dull spread. Tying the whole thing together with a fortune cookie was a bold move, but also perfect. Only recommendation would be to bring back Mike Tyson.
Yeah. That's amazing. So am I the old cheddar?
You are.
Yeah. I like old cheddar.
I do too.
It's sharp.
Yeah.
Sharp. Like
that's
your
great.
Wit.
But listen, yes. Everyone please review and give us 5 stars and tell us what you think and maybe we'll read them out. But it does help us. And algorithms and shit, right? It does help boost us.
And subscribe and follow. All those things we have.
Big plans coming up.
Big plans.
This show.
Yeah.
And
looks like he's grabbing boobies.
I was going to say.
This is why it should be a video podcast one. This is why.
It will be.
But yeah, we got some stuff coming up anyway in the very near future. We keep saying that, don't we? But we actually do. We actually do. And we'll get to it. Anything else you guys want to get to before we say farewell?
Yes, I had something.
Ooh.
I'm just seeing so many articles about Ivan and Tony, our best pal. And I just think to go back to it, I loved it so much because it was just pure shithousery and gamesmanship and, you know, wily and cunning and all those adjectives and the superlatives that we threw out last pod. But it's just something that's been severely lacking in today's game with VAR. You can't get away with that shit anymore. Because everything is filmed and scrutinized,
well,
right?
You can, though. Degree. You can get
but
it.
Yes, but you can. So I think that's why it was such a talking point. It's like, how dare he? How can he get away with this? But then also, I think equal measures of delight. And this is still, this still exists in our game. And so as much as they're like, oh, he's a cheat and he's this and he's that. No, do it. Take advantage. If you can still sort of push boundaries in the game, go for it. And sorry, Nottingham Forest, but I loved it.
You know, Dubs, I'm actually writing a column myself, another column about it this week in The Star, because I agree with you. I think that there's fewer and fewer characters in the game in professional sport because there's so much at stake and they're so careful to protect their brand. Ivan Tony is the outlier. He's got such swagger and personality. And yeah, he's polarizing, he's controversial. But whoever signs him to a massive deal, probably this summer, Arsenal, Chelsea, whoever it's going to be, they're getting so much more than just a footballer. They got a personality, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was brilliant as well. Yeah, it's contravening rules to a certain degree, but like Jimmy said last, everyone does it to a certain degree. Adding the foam to the whole little recipe there kind of really, really added to it and helped it, right? But it was fantastic. We need more of that shit. We really do. When you guys played, there were characters in the game, right? Real characters. And I don't know if they're allowed anymore. So when we do get one, we should celebrate him or her.
Yeah, because VAR's taken away kind of the gray area, the shadows, or you might argue that it's brought out more because, you know, the subjectivity is still in the technology and we kind of can't get out of our own way. But in terms of the characters, in terms of, you know, the protagonists on teams are like looking for somebody who's just slightly more offbeat, somebody that you can cling to, somebody that's not vanilla. Like that is what he is.
Offbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good.
What is?
Your beat.
Mm-hmm.
My beat?
You weren't offbeat.
Yeah. Didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Just flicking my fingers.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And yeah. The way that he operated on that free kick, it gave me a little bit of FOMO.
Oh, did it? Yeah, you want to be back in that pitch?
Foam. No, the foam.
That's terrible. No, I know where you're going there. Don't apologize for it.
I like when he tries to explain it like we didn't get it.
We get it.
Always the best kind of jokes.
It's like she's trying to land
as
the joke.
She's saying it, she's shaking her head. Dad, I know I shouldn't be saying this, but I can't control myself. You got to own it. A true shithouser owns it.
Fucking come on, Judy. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Come on.
Judy from payroll. All right. Shout out to Steve Troop.
Yeah. Shout out to Steve Troop. Absolutely. TonyBet.ca. Get on there and sprinkle. Big game today. Liverpool against Fulham. Andy Robertson back on the bench for this one. Dubs, sense of things.
Robbo, yes.
That's in the Carabao Cup. Chelsea, of course, smashed Middlesbrough yesterday 4-0. Looked very impressive indeed to get to Wembley. And Poch really wants that final. So, yeah, put some money on the Reds today. They're up 1-0. I think they're going to roll through this one. And back this weekend, of course, the Prem. Fubo TV. FuboTV.com/footyprime.
Is it back this weekend?
The Prem?
I think it's on Tuesday. I'm looking at the schedule.
What are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm looking at the schedule. And it says the next Prem games are Tuesday.
This game's today? Next Tuesday? This game's next Saturday, aren't it? It's not FA Cup again, is it?
I think it's FA Cup.
Maybe it is. I apologize to you, Wonga.
Oh, I don't give a shit. I don't listen to you anyways. Tuesday, January 30th is the next Prem on Fubo TV.
Is it a full schedule?
It's God. There's Tuesday. There's a
full midweek schedule.
5 weeks, 5 matches on Tuesday.
And then Wednesday, probably the same. Maybe one on Thursday.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can get them on FuboTV.com. And you can bet on TonyBet.ca. We will. Yeah. We'll submit, though, our footy picks probably for the FA Cup on Friday.
Yeah, so matches are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Okay. Midweek football. Lovely. Okay, everyone. That's Footy Prime for another day. Is Craig back by the time we reconvene on Friday or not?
I don't think so.
No, he's not. He's still away, is he?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, hope you enjoyed that. We'll chat to you on Friday, I suppose, at some point. Keep following us, of course, on all the usual platforms. And, more news coming your way. It's Footy Prime. Bye. Keep buying newspapers.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Beck. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Keep playing.
No. Keep going.
No. All right, everyone. Good choice. Right,
that's good. Right. Have a great day, all.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.